Go to the Word Radio broadcast, ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. Today we're studying in the book of 1 Peter, and we're in chapter 5. We trust you'll have your Bible open and stay with us for the next several minutes as we go to the Word. And this is because everybody in Israel was an elder in their own home. As they had a family further down the road, they began to get more wisdom and they could make some judgments. Now, all of that to say, there's a paradigm that comes all the way back from the Old Testament. Israel was the first one to have it. Why? Because God gave it to them. Okay, God said, this is how it's going to be. Joshua was the leader after Moses. And then after that, you had individual judges. Whole cities, whole countries following these guys. Now, that's not happy. I don't want to tell you, you know, I'm it. You choose a pastor, right? Every time you choose to come back, you're saying, well, I'm going to let him kind of feed, you know, and do and be my pastor for a while. And I get that. And sometimes you'll be on the bus for a long time. Sometimes then you'll get out of the, you might get off. I heard a guy say this. Sometimes where people were with him for a long time, and they'd get off the, what do you call it, the subway, and they'd get on to another car somewhere along the line. I can't control that. It's not my job. I'm just trying to show you Jesus, you know, and if I'm doing it, then just keep looking, because that's an awesome thing to see right now is Jesus, especially in our day. So I want you to see this about Thomas Jefferson, because this was new to me. Baptist Congregationalism actually influenced Thomas Jefferson and his contributions to our Constitution. He hung out with a man named Pastor Andrew Tribble. And Andrew Tribble asked him one day, after he'd been coming to his church for a while, he said, what do you think of our government, of our church? It was a congregational government. If I could say in a word what our church is, it's a pastorally led and a congregationally governed church. That's what it is. Because all of us are believer priests. Pastors are elders, the maturity is there, and hopefully when he says something, it gives you some idea because he's given you a verse and chapter, and he's given you, okay, this is why we believe this. I've just told you why I'm not an Episcopalian. I just told you why I'm not a denominationalist. We're an independent church. Farewell. We're supposed to do our thing according to the Word of God. We've got everything we need in the Bible pertaining to life and godliness. Exceeding great and precious promises and been made partakers, literally fellowshippers with the divine nature. That's what you are if you're a child of God. And so, when he was talking to Jefferson, Pastor Tribble asked him, what do you think of our government? Jefferson replied, this is a quote when I found it. It says, well, it struck me with great force. And he said further that he considered it the only form of pure democracy that then existed in the entire world. And he had concluded that it would be the best plan of government for the American colonies from a Baptist church. Now listen. You think these big denominational churches are the way of it? All you got to do is start watching them. They're beginning to teeter on every hand. The Methodist Church, across these past several decades, they've been trying to get into ordaining homosexuals and things like that. Do you know why they didn't? Because the African Methodists said no. They were the conservatives. They just broke with them, and now they're doing whatever they want to do because denominationalism said this is advantageous. Now, listen, I'm not saying that to gloat, and I'm not saying that to put myself up. I'm just telling you, you go to a church, go to a Baptist church, and find one that's biblical, okay? Whenever you go to church, just look for an independent Bible church. People are happy to say, we go to a non-denominational church. And what that means is we're going to keep it down the middle of the road so that you don't get offended. Do you know truth offends? Jesus said, I didn't come to send peace, but a sword. So sometimes it's going to step on our toes. Sometimes people are saying, listen, I want you to step on my toes sometimes because I know I get a little bit lazy in my walk with the Lord. So I say this is one of the things that kind of blows my hair back is because he says it was the best for the colonies. He saw it. Why was it a pure democracy? Because of the same thing that you've heard many times. Our republic is no good without a moral people. And a church government is no good without a spirit-filled Christian people who are abiding by that local church's polity, as it were, under the authority of the Word of God. So here's the order of it. You have the pastor is kind of an executive leader. They got the executive branch of the president. You have the deacons who are like the ministers. They'd be like the representatives, as it were, from all the states. And then you have the congregation. They're the ones who actually are the governors. They're the governors. They just send representatives. And the executive gets to make the final decision on some things. And the legislative branch gets to do some things as well because they're sent by their states to represent their desires in that setting. It's kind of like that in a local church. If we want to build a building or build on a big addition, we bring the congregation together and say, we're thinking this, and we put together the things that we feel like are in our hearts, and then the congregation gets to say yes or no. I want to show you something else. If you chase this, the Bible says in Acts chapter 1, verse 21 and 22, it says, wherefore these men, which have accompanied us all this time, and now what I'm looking at now, I want to kind of transition from the idea of ecclesiology a little bit, and I want to put you on apostles, because look what Peter says in verse 1 again. He says, the elders which are among you I exhort, who am also an elder. You know what he could have said? I'm an apostle. He could have said, I'm an apostle. I've got hierarchical authority over you, so just do what I'm telling you. He didn't. He says, I'm also an elder. And that's because he did not own this position as an apostle, as if it was authoritative in a way that would say, okay, I'm almost off the scene. I'm loving power, so I'm going to say it the last minute because I love being in power. I'm going to say, do this because I'm an apostle telling you this is what you should do. What he did was he came alongside because he was going to be leaving history behind. He was going to go and give his life for the cause, upside down, crucified, right? I mean, this is a guy who was sold out. They didn't do it because he had to. He said, I'm not worthy to be crucified like Jesus. Crucify me upside down. Peter's heart is different than what you see in the Gospels by this time in his life. And he's right down under them. He's washing their feet. And he's saying, who am also an elder. And what you have to recognize is that there were certain requirements of apostles. Apostles was an office. The Bible says Jesus ascended into heaven and he gave gifts to men. He gave some apostles and prophets and pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints onto the work of the ministry. So that spirit calling that we saw in Acts chapter 20 comes into play here. They're called of God. They have a certain disposition, and God would have that disposition be something that would equip the saints by giving them an example to follow in some way and help them understand what the Bible says so they can appropriate the truths therein. So I wanted to show you the signs of an apostle, because Paul comes into play a lot when we talk about some of the things that he's going to talk about in verse 2 and 3. So in Acts chapter 1 and verse 21 and 22, they were trying to figure out who was going to take Judas's spot. And the Bible says there were some things we need to have for this person to be an apostle. Do you realize there are people today who are saying they're apostles in their church? Yeah, there's apostles, right? Well, here's one of the requirements. It says, which of these men... they're looking at all their 120, and they say, which of these men have accompanied us all the time that Jesus went in and out among us? So it had to be somebody who witnesses Jesus' life overtly. And it says, beginning at John the Baptist. And it says, further, unto that same day when he was taken up from us, one of these must be ordained to be a witness with us of his resurrection. So they saw this office of apostle as exclusive. It wasn't something that was going to come down through the ages. Romanism has Peter's throne, as it were. And they're like thinking somehow somebody had to sit on his throne. Down through the ages. No, it's not biblical. Only these people were that. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 and verse 11 is where we hear the word signs of an apostle. 2 Corinthians chapter 12 verse 11, Paul said, I am become a fool in glorying, yea, you have compelled me. For I ought to have been commended by you. These people were questioning everything about Paul. Such is the position of leadership sometimes. It's very difficult to stand and champion your own thing because it's not in our nature to do that when you want to serve. But he says, you've compelled me. For I ought to have been commended by you. For in nothing am I behind the very chiefest of the apostles, though I be nothing. He says, truly the signs of an apostle were wrought in me among you. In all patience, in signs and wonders and mighty deeds. So right away you begin to see these signs and wonders and mighty deeds being part of that apostolic office. So if somebody's going to be an apostle, maybe they need some of those signs and wonders. Hebrews chapter 2, verse 3 and 4, it says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation? Do you know how great your salvation is? Do you know creation is awesome, right? What an amazing world we have. They commemorated that throughout the Old Testament, but when Jesus rose from the dead, all that changed. And now we, even more so, celebrate, commemorate, and gather together on the first day of the week to remember what? The resurrection, which is salvation. Creation was great. Salvation eclipses creation. So it's so great a salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by our Lord and was confirmed unto us by those who heard Him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and with diverse miracles and gifts of the Holy Ghost according to His own will. It's not every generation that had signs and wonders. If you read the church fathers, they weren't running around raising people from the dead like Peter did. They weren't raising people. They weren't healing fingers. They weren't giving sight to the blind. They had laid a foundation, and Jesus is the cornerstone. There's the prophets and the apostles, and once that time passed off, you didn't have that apostle office any longer. I go further for you because Peter says, I'm an elder. And he says, not only am I an elder, he says, but I'm a witness of the sufferings of Christ. Now, I don't know if you've ever seen anything that just literally wrecked you. I have seen some things. It's the abortion movement. I've seen videos of things that have happened that just, I'll never be the same because of those things. Even talking to you, they make me want to stutter because I'm like, whoa. I've seen the beheading of Nick Berg. He was the first of the beheaded men. He was in Iraq back in the day, and they put him on a camera and they beheaded him. He didn't know it was going to happen. They brought him out every day for weeks on end, and so he just thought it was another day. We're going to go out and make a video and come back in. That day they grabbed him. And because we live in our generation, we haven't seen stuff like that. I'll never forget that. You see, what we have before us is Peter, who's saying, not only I exhort you, who am also an elder coming down under them, but he said, I also saw the sufferings of Christ. And what he's telling us is he actually was there at the time. He saw him being flogged. He saw his bloodied body. Jesus walking across the courtyard that night and looked at Peter as he denied him the third time. He saw him. And you know what he's doing by reminding him of that? That I'm just flesh like you. I know sufferings are part of what you guys are going through. No one suffered like I suffered when Jesus said, do you love me? You know I'm fond of you, Lord. I got nothing. You got nothing. I got nothing. Okay? That's the point. We're all supposed to be diving for the bottom. Did you know that? All of us. Dive for the bottom. Try to find a way to get under each other. Make everybody else's day better. That's why I went back to chapter 4 and the end of the chapter, I think it's verse 29. Commit the keeping of your souls to Him in well-doing, as unto a faithful Creator. Why? Because that's all you got. This world is flawed. It's broken. It's messed up. Peter says, I am a witness of the sufferings of Christ. And I'll never get over that. And it impacted him. But he says, I also am a partaker, or one who has fellowshipped with the Lord in the glory that shall be revealed. You recall that Jesus led three up on the mountain. He said, some of you won't die until they've tasted of the kingdom of heaven. And they went up to that, they went up that high mountain, and Jesus was transfigured. He says, yeah, I blew it, but I also saw where we were going, and I was able to get past this because I knew that, you know, because I knew He loved me enough to put me on that mountain. Do you realize what He's given you is what's going to get you by whatever comes in the future? Don't doubt in the darkness what He's revealed in the light. Peter found that purchase for his soul to be able to get back up and do something for God. In fact, he did the greatest thing we know of him in that he preached on the day of Pentecost. 3,000 people got saved. The people that said crucify him 50 days earlier were now saying, what must we do to be saved? Wow. He says, so I've been a fellowshipper of the glory that shall be revealed. And he says, so I'm coming under you because I know what it's like to suffer. I know what it's like to be in hard places. Well, that concludes today's portion of the message. This has been a ministry of Faith Baptist Church in Ontario, Ohio. And I'm Pastor Dave Davenport. I hope you'll join us Monday through Friday for our verse-by-verse studies. And we hope you'll tell others to tune in as well. If you'd like to contact us and learn more about our ministry, go to faithbaptist1.net. You can also download recent broadcasts on our homepage. We hope you'll make it a point to tune in daily as we go to the Word.